This is the episode, though, where Casey's going to find out that, like, he's been calling all three of us web developers, but Trash is the only one who actually knows how to develop for the web.
I mean, you can use TypeScript on the server.
So okay, so Trash is a web developer, and you guys are web developers, is what you're saying.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I'm just a normie. I'm just a normie, but everyone's so bad at their craft that I just rise to the top. Which is really funny. You can just be, like, normal, and that's, like, really good.
Nice. Then they give you talks at RenderATL.
Exactly. They're like, this guy's a genius. I'm like, look, I just know the basics.
Oh, hey, Prawn.
Oh, howdy doody.
Hello? Hello?
Are you ready for some TypeScript, Prime?
I am so ready for TypeScript. Yeah. Anyways, sorry. All right, hey, I'm going to do the introduction right now, okay?
Okay. I'm low-key freaking
okay,
out.
Okay, okay. Hey!
You got this, Trash.
Yeah, Trash,
you got this.
You're the man,
I'm
Trash.
So ready for
Trash,
this.
You are awesome.
You got this.
I'm freestyling this, okay? This isn't going to be...
Trash! All right.
Oh, just go.
Here we go. Today's stand-up is a special one. We have with us a legendary engineer, Chris Bautista. You probably know better as Trash Dev. Going to give us an amazing presentation about TypeScript build system speed, performance, usability, all the good stuff. Trash, unironically, drinks from a mason jar just like me, so good job, Trash. Really appreciate that. Hey, cheers, buddy. But second off, he's actually a very talented engineer, and if I were to have TypeScript problems, there's the first person I would call would be Trash. He's actually quite excellent, so I'm very excited for this talk, and I'm even more excited about Casey being confused by the fact that there is JavaScript that's not JavaScript, that can't run, that takes a long time to make into JavaScript. And I'm very excited about this whole thing. So this is going to be excellent. So Trash, okay, could you please take it away for us?
So this is how I'm going to approach this, because I want to get through, like, the less interesting parts, I feel like, in my opinion, and get to the stuff that I think Case will get interested in. So I'm going to pick pieces of my presentation to show you just of, like, weird quirks that happen in TypeScript. And then we'll kind of, like, go into the more in-depth stuff and kind of just, like... And then we'll probably just end up freestyling at that point. And this is also weird for me because I only have one monitor. So I have to, like... You're basically going to see me, like, finagling all this stuff live. So Josh or whoever's going to edit this can edit it. So first things first is, like... TypeScript is an interesting language where, in my opinion... There's, like, a spectrum of, like, skill level. I don't want to say skill level, but just, like, familiarity with the language. And I feel like most people don't take the time to actually jump over that hurdle and get to the more advanced stuff. Not because it's their fault, but more of, like, the work that they're doing doesn't really actually call for it. So, like, the talk I'm doing, it's very high level because I think most people fall into that kind of bucket. But then there's pieces of my talk that I kind of skim over because I don't want your eyes to glaze over during a presentation, right? And I was also at the end of the conference.
Trash, can I interrupt one second?
Yeah.
What is the title of your talk?
It is called WTF TypeScript, literally. Dude, I had some bomb-ass memes during this presentation that I was so terrified that weren't going to land. But thankfully, everyone started laughing, and I just, like, then all my, like, nervousness went away. I, like, called it out in the beginning. I was like, guys, I'm, like, freaking out right now. And I was doing a sound check. The MC was introducing me, and I had a remote mic on my shirt. And when I was sound checking, my mic wasn't that loud. So while the MC was introducing me, I went skirt into the mic and it just, like, filled up the stadium, not the stadium, but filled up the room. And everyone just, like, looked at me and I just, like, froze in terror. It was, like, the worst thing ever. But anyways.
Ugh. Did you find the errors?
I don't even know what they look. What do they even look like?
They're in the phone.
In the phone?
Yeah, they're definitely in there. I just don't know how we labeled them.
I got it, don't worry.
You gotta figure it out.
We're running out of time, Prime. You gotta find them and meet me at the stand-up.
Roger.
They're in the phone. It's so simple.
Get all the context you need to debug your problem, because code breaks, so fix it faster with Sentry.
All right, I want to show Casey excess property checks. Oh, no, on this screen, it kind of, like, makes things crap, but it's fine. So excess property checks. So check this out. So this is a type. So you've never seen TypeScript before.
I've never.
Okay. So the function looks like JavaScript to you. The only difference between, like, JavaScript and TypeScript, in my opinion. You see these little colons here, and that's your type afterwards. And then the type definition is at the top. Hopefully that's pretty obvious, right? So you have type person. It's an object-like structure and has two properties. First name of type string, age of type number. And then this function obviously will have taken some parameter, and it's of type person. So the interesting part with TypeScript is, okay, if we call it like this, this looks normal, right? This doesn't error out. Business as usual if you actually work in the TypeScript ecosystem. If you pass in an extra property, it's going to actually break with extra prop. So hopefully this all makes sense. Like, this is actually like aligning with most web developers' mental model. But what's interesting here is if you extract this object, the type error goes away, right? Which isn't the biggest deal. So the difference here is like TypeScript is structural. So as long as it satisfies the contract of first name and age, TypeScript's like, cool, I don't care. We have those two properties. I don't care about the rest, right? Which may not be what you want. Oh. So if you actually want that behavior of like getting that error that we saw in the previous slide, you have to explicitly type it, right? So this kind of makes sense. It has an extra prop, it breaks. But if you're just like really want to add this extra property, you can literally just spread an object into this and then the type error goes away. So that's literally the first WTF of TypeScript, right? So this actually blew people's minds. They're like, what? I didn't know you can do this. Honestly, like pragmatically, you probably would never do this. Most people
except
wouldn't even...
people do.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Why does that work?
Somebody told their whole why,
because I thought spreading like TypeScript was able to trace the types through and the properties that you get. Why does that work?
So I don't know the technical reasons, but I just don't think TypeScript can actually follow it, right? I just think it just sees the first two properties, and then it just can't. I think it's like the same scenario where you extract it like this. It doesn't know what's in there, and it kind of just treats everything in this object as an excess property at this point. So I don't know. I don't know like the actual technical reasons. If you go into the compiler, I'm sure some like team member can tell you why. I just know if you do this, it makes it go away. And I've seen this actually like in some like.
So why wouldn't you just use a TSIgnore at this point? Or an as person?
Well, TSIgnore just opens up a whole other thing of like can of worms. Usually what people do is they'll opt for this. They just want to explicitly type it. Because at the end of the day, as long as you have first name and age, it doesn't actually matter. Like, your code is only typically going to look for those two properties. Unless you have like some validator that's actually like enumerating the properties of the object, it could actually break stuff. But more times than not, this would usually be fine.
So this
Trash, I got a question.
Yeah.
If this behavior didn't exist, wouldn't like everybody's strategy for passing around properties in React just like completely get demolished? Right, isn't this what everybody does? Is like you've got some big object with a bunch of context. Everybody just spreads it all the way down, right? Do they not?
Yeah, that's like a whole other conversation of just like dumping bags into like other functions, and you have no idea what's in there. This is a problem. I don't know like the exact React types, but I know the practice of just like taking a bag of anything and just passing it down is a thing.
Yeah, you're just like, we just pass. We just keep on passing it down. Somebody uses it.
It's actually a real big problem, and I've experienced this pain firsthand, and I actually hate it. I don't think it actually at the type level catches it, because I've been in code bases where we're just like, I don't even know what's in here, but I'm just going to spread it. I'm just going to spread it down and drill it to the core of the earth, because I have no idea. So yeah, I don't know at the type level. I'm not too familiar with like the React types in depth, but potentially, right?
Casey, just so you know, someone spreads, it's actually taking that object and copying it key and value in. Not doing a deep copy, just a shallow copy of key and value, which means that every time React renders, every single component recopies the same object through all the way down. So if you have thousands of components, you create thousands of copies of objects every single time. So you understand, because I feel like this would be kind of like a fun, like illuminating fact for you.
Actually, Trash, I mean, this is going to be one of those things, because since we're all actually interested in this, like, this is going to be like one slide per podcast.
No, it's
like,
perfectly fine.
And 6 weeks from
forth.
Now, we'll have gotten through the presentation. just for my benefit. So can you go back to the thing where you called the function and you got the error in the first place?
Sorry, I'm not supposed to go backwards in this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I was curious. So
Never go back.
So I'm just wondering, compiler-wise, why does it see a difference between these two things? Because to me, when I look at that, I'm like, okay, what that would normally do is first it would evaluate to an object. That object should be the same as the person object you were creating before, because it has exactly the same members, in exactly the same order, written exactly the same way. So there's a special case in TypeScript for if you're constructing an object only inside the call to a function, and in that case, it will check?
Yeah, so the compiler will treat inline objects this way, but outside it won't do it.
And so
I don't know like the exact like specifications on why, but this is like the behavior that everyone has kind of been like accustomed to.
So that kind of suggests this is very intentional, right? Because that means they probably special case this and said, "Oh, like if this is a if this object has a property that isn't used because the only place that it actually would go is someplace where it's not used, we'll give you an error about that. But if you have a regular object and you could pass it to a function that would work, we're going to make that work." So that it kind of feels like that must be intentional. It's called duck typing, right?
That's, yeah, exactly.
They have a term for that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you think about how just JavaScript works, it doesn't care about any of this. You can pass anything, right? And like you said with duck typing,
it's all fake.
Yeah, I mean, like you said with duck typing, if it just has these properties, it must be it must be a duck.
Well, that
that
and this is not necessarily a bad thing, TJ. Like duck typing is a feature, right? And it's a thing
it
that
is.
And so you know when you're making a language like they were with TypeScript, they have to decide what's the default behavior, and maybe like their thing was like, okay, we're going to decide the default behavior is duck typing, and if we detect somewhere where it's clear that you probably didn't actually want that, then we'll error, like in this case, because there's no way extra prop can be used here. It's only going towards a function that, right? So, you know, I'll be honest, I know people probably expected me to think that everything sucks, but looking at this, I'm like, that sounds like an adult designed this. Just to be completely honest, that seems like an adult designed this to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, just imagine just trying to type a dynamic language like JavaScript.
Yeah.
Like, it's never going to be perfect, right? So you can always get as close as you want.
Yeah.
And then you kind of make these arbitrary decisions on, like, how you want, like, this experience to be.
So Casey's thumbs up so far. Sorry, guys. I'm
Let's
up.
Go.
Casey, can I?
I'm thumbs up so far.
Can I ask, Casey, do you think it's, is it, do you like that? Because I agree, I like this one, where it says, yo, you passed an extra prop, you shouldn't do this. But do you like being able to do the next phase where it's like, oh, well, I just have an object and I pass it and it has extra properties. Cause that, like.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool. Just making sure.
Like I said, it's I actually like duck typing if I ask for it, right? So, like, I would prefer that more languages had the ability to do duck. Like, for example, you can think of C++ templates as supporting duck typing. Because if you pass something as pass, I mean, if you instantiate a template and you have a parameter that has the necessary things, but also a bunch of other things, it will work, right? Because it's what it's doing is it's going to create code that works for anything that supports that feature at a minimum. It's not going to say you can't have these other things. And to me, that's actually better because it gets me more code leverage. It means I can use more functions on more types, as opposed to the opposite, which is when you try to do the object-oriented like very Procrustean like type hierarchy thing and make it's like we only everything has to be the minimum set and functions can only work on exactly the things we said, right? That really handcuffs you, right? So to me, duck typing is great. Would I have wanted it in an ideal world perhaps to be more explicit, like I say if I want duck type or not? Maybe, but again, in the context of a JavaScript front end, which is what TypeScript is, I think this is a reasonable choice for a language designer to make because most of the existing JavaScript ecosystem is being duck typed by default. So if you make it really onerous and annoying for the person writing the code to constantly be saying duck type, duck type, duck type, duck type, duck type, that's going to be annoying. So again, seems like adult design to me. So I'm thumbs up on everything you showed so far.
Can I ask a quick question? Really? This is just a general question. Is there a specific difference? In my head, the duck typing versus structural typing, is structural typing is about the properties and the available functions, whereas duck typing is only about the functions? Is there like a difference? I'm not actually sure if there's actually a difference, or is duck typing like the local or the colloquial version of structural typing?
I don't think I know the term structural typing, but duck typing literally just comes from the phrase, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. So literally it's just like, if this thing can do what I need, whether that's member functions or having particular data items or whatever it is, then I consider it to be the type I needed for all intents and purposes. And I'm not going to inquire further to see whether it actually is a exact copy of that type. I'm just going to say, does it have similar things to that type that will work, right? I don't know. What is structural type? Sorry, I don't know that term.
So structural type, just think about Legos, right? So if they have the same shape, they're probably the same thing, right? So, like, in this case...
They're the same, basically. Okay. Like, structural subtyping, I think, is the functional programmer way to say duck
okay,
typing.
That's what I... That's where I was having this impedance mismatch. I knew they... In my head, they're the same thing, but I'm like, what's the difference? There has to be a difference, but okay.
Well, if it comes from functional programming, they're definitely not the same thing, and somebody will be in the comments going, I can't believe they called structural typing duck typing! And yeah, then 20 paragraphs later, there will be this minor, tiny little difference that no one cares about. But, yes, they probably are the same then.
So we'll get you guys in the next episode. We'll have the answer solved. I'm not going to look it up myself. I will just read through the comments after this video. Thanks, guys.
All right, trash, go on.
All right, so 20 minutes later, we got past the first... First
Love
section. So we'll see how far we get of this. This is actually okay. Let's keep going. Okay. Enums. I'm assuming everybody knows Enums. Okay. This is an interesting example. I wouldn't say it's the most interesting one, but I think it's pretty cool. So let's look at enums, colors. They just have string values. So green, orange, red. Nothing particularly interesting here. But we want to use this enum in a function. So we'll just have some placeholder function is the best color. Its parameter is going to be of type colors. That makes sense. Right.
Oh, sorry. Green. I thought you were asking. Oh,
green is the best color.
I was like, how did you know? So if we call it like this, colors.green, this makes sense, right? This shouldn't look surprising to anybody that's used TypeScript or just coding in general, I feel like. But if you call it as its actual value, it's going to break. So if you see here, we're calling it with the string value green. But if I console log colors.green, it fails even though the values match, right? And this isn't the biggest deal. The biggest annoyance, I think, I experience personally and other developers is when I call this function, I now have to import this enum just so I can call it. Even though I know the values, I can't just call it with green, orange, red. So with auto importing, not the biggest deal, but where this is interesting is going to be in my next example. So right now, any questions? Like this all makes sense? I can't see
good
you.
So far.
Okay.
Makes good sense. So far, trash.
All right. So let's talk about enums with number values. So we're going to have like pending, decline, approved, 0, 1, 2, we're going to call it again, just like we did in the previous example. Stats.decline, you know, makes sense, makes perfect sense. But if I call it with its corresponding value, we don't get that type error. So it looks like...
I love C.
So yeah, it works here, but it doesn't work in the string case.
What happens if you passed 3?
I don't actually know.
I'll type it up right now. I'll set it up right now. I have it open.
I'm pretty sure it's going to work because it's going to be a type number. But I can type it out real quick.
I'm doing it right now.
Do it real quick.
Oh, boy.
I almost...
Right now it says argument of type 3 is not assignable to parameter type status.
It's probably going to be a type error.
Yeah, it doesn't allow 3. So it does actually look for the numbers.
Interesting.
So it's like half C.
Half C, exactly. So this one's like interesting. Like it's not something I don't think anyone's gonna actually encounter like day to day, but it was like an interesting case on like its behavior, so I included it.
That feels like it must be a bug, unless they couldn't
There's
have
reasons
intended
here that.
That
I don't
there
remember.
Are? Oh,
I don't remember. But there are reasons, but reasons that you don't ever probably care about. But now I'm gonna look. I gotta remember. Like when I was making this talk, I was like, I learned why it's doing it, and then I completely just purged it from my memory.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd be interested to know why.
Someone
is
trying to say that it's the difference between references versus direct values, but they don't understand that V8 at least operates on heaps or SMEs, small numbers. And so that means if you have a number below 2 to the 32, it's actually inlined inside the reference. So it looks like a heap item, but it actually is a tag to say, hey, this is actually an inline number. So I wonder if this works with numbers above 2 to the 32. Does that break the whole reference because then it becomes a box value and it's no longer a small number?
Potentially. I know there's actually a limitation on like what numbers you can use as well as values.
But TypeScript is compiled, so it wouldn't care. It doesn't matter what the runtime engine uses, right?
I think there's also stuff built in into the compiler that will like...
Right? No, I'm serious, right? Like this is a compile time error, right? Like this is not a runtime error, it's a compile time error, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Like what V8 does is irrelevant. This is clearly something that the compiler must know. Because it knows that the definition of validate status uses type status, which means it must be visible. So it knows that you're passing 1, which is a constant, a numerical constant, to something that requires status. So somebody in the compiler said that was okay. They must have had a reason for that, I think, because that would be a pretty straightforward bug to fix if it was accidental. So I really would like to know what the rationale was, because those two things are known to the compiler and it's choosing to let you do that and not let you do the green case. Why?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like an explicit, from what I'm trying to recall what I remember, but I think there's like an explicit decision here.
Yeah.
We'll find out. We'll find out, though. It's easy to figure. It's easy to find out for sure.
Yeah.
All right. That's point number two in the YouTube comments we'll be looking for.
Yeah.
We'll read it.
Yeah. Can someone leave a YouTube comment and let us know why?
Yeah. Hook a Casey up.
Also,
with
I do want to say that TypeScript doesn't know what is or is not a reference, in the sense that it would actually have to do type checking of the thing to be like, you're a string, you're definitely a reference. Oh, you're a number. How big is the number to see if it's a reference or not? Right. You don't actually get that access. It's not surfaced to you in JavaScript. So it can't be based on that. It's based on someone made the intentional design decision that numbers can be raw dogged and strings cannot.
Yeah. And they are checking, like, they like three didn't work. So it's not like it's just correct. Like, I don't know, we're just going to push numbers. Like, no, in the compiler, it knows. So this was intentional, and I'd love to know why. Yeah, I'd be interested to know. Oh, there might be a very good reason, like, oh, yeah, because of blah. Like I said, I want to say that I remember the dude who made the TypeScript compiler in the first place, or one of the main dudes. I want to say that he was a friend of Dave Stafford's. I had lunch with him way back in the day, and this dude is baller. He wrote, like, I think he's the guy who wrote the original Microsoft Java, like, before V8, before Chrome, before any of these things, the original JavaScript, runtime engine for, like, IE when it first got that. And it was pretty good. It was better than everyone else. It was, like, way better than, like, Netscapes or whatever, right? So I'm not coming into this with a mentality that this was just like a bunch of toddlers in diapers running around going like woohoo, right? I think like I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt for quite some time, but I feel like there's an explanation here. I'd love to know what it was. Anyway,
I'm gonna stake out my guess, and then that's also the best way to get a YouTube comment, because they'll say actually TJ's an idiot. Here's what it is. So here's my guess. And I actually think it has something possibly to do with what you're saying, Prime. Is I do wonder if there's a few comparisons or operations that would work for numbers to check equality that don't work for strings, where if you're not holding a reference to the original string, right? Like where you do green, if there's like some comparison that checks like the string green versus another string green, are there some operations that get you different results? That's my guess.
Maps would be the only ones.
It won't happen.
Yeah, true. I think you can use map and set actually use references potentially. I'd actually have to double check that to see, does it use references to string green or is it actually just literally string green? That's I don't know, but so, I don't think that anywhere that you can do that with enum. So I'd be very, it would be a surprise to me to know that you can do reference-based anything in JavaScript other than potentially maps.
That's my guess.
That's a good guess. It's a really good guess.
So let me show you the alternative to enums that people started doing instead. Oh, no.
Oh, are we going off script here? Are we going off script?
No, can you see my screen?
Yes,
I can. Oh, he's on script. Holy cow. Nice, Trash.
Well, I didn't do this during my talk, but I'm going to do it here.
All right. Yeah, I love this.
All right.
So people stop doing enums and they favor this stuff right here. So this is actually like you actually defining, this is JavaScript at this point, but then you add this as const here. Which is like kind of like object.freeze, kind of freezing the object, but at the type level. So instead of doing enums, people actually do this, convert that into a type. And then this is kind of getting into the weeds. Like you're probably just going to be like, what the hell is happening? But the experience now is I don't have to import an enum. I get like this. I can now see all the values that are valid, right? So this is what people like to do, because at the end of the day, the enums actually turn into runtime code, which is actually one of the things that, like, I believe the TypeScript team kind of regrets is using enums. Like, there's actually, like, a rule in TypeScript now if you're doing TypeScript in Node to actually not allow you to use enums because they're not strictly at the type level. They actually have runtime implications. So people actually start doing this instead of doing enums. I'm not going to explain it, but I just kind of wanted to show you, like, this is an alternative.
Explain it, Trash. Explain it.
This is your chance.
So, again, I know. So here we're basically – this is where – we intersect. Okay, let me back up. So TypeScript, which people always like mess this up, is strictly at the type level, and JavaScript is at the runtime level. Like they don't intersect. The place where they can actually kind of intersect is this line right here, is where you do type of foo, where this is actually referencing some runtime code, right? This is actually Like if you log this in your browser, it would give you these things. But now you're converting this to a type via typeof, and now you're officially in the type world, right? So we've officially turned this into bar, and now we can see the type here, like it's read-only failed, and we see it's read-only because this as const, because it behaves of like freezing something at the type level. So what we do now is we can get all the keys. It's just, it's an object, right? So if we get the keys, we now see the keys.
Dude, that's my dog's favorite type.
What?
Barkies.
Oh my God, stop. Stop. You are the worst. Oh, wait, is that an actual brand? Is that
no,
a brand?
No, Barkies.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a brand like Chewy or something. Okay.
Trashy.
The intersection of dad reasons. Jokes and programming is TJ.
Trash, I only wanted to go line by line through this because I had that joke as soon as I saw you
God,
bring this out.
Oh
my
worst.
God.
I am not going to let this joke pass. I am going to get a chance to drop this joke right now.
You are
now.
The worst. Let me fast forward through this because you just wasted
hold
my
on,
time.
Hold on, I got a question for you. You can't use this approach with like type of and key of on an object that you don't know the shape of, right? So like if you read something from a file, you can't just be like type of thing. You have to first give it the shape and then you can type of
there's,
it.
There's also another word called infer, and that's typically what you would use to do it. So say you're using a third-party library and they didn't export types. You would have to use the infer keyword to turn like some of those.
Okay, and that does some like, sort of like forward-looking or something to determine all the keys used on it and then says it's this thing?
Yeah,
okay.
So
okay.
Like, yeah, so that would be how you would do that. It won't work like in every case. There's like quirks around that, but that's how you would like kind of do that. But yeah, anyways, like this is the most interesting part here is like this is how you intersect the worlds of runtime code and then TypeScript code is via this type of. Because now after this line, we're strictly... Can you guys hear the vacuum?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but it's
Dax, is Dax at your house?
Dude,
do you have Dax over?
I got Dax's people over right now. Oh, no. Did it? If I keep talking, does it go away? Like, if I just keep saying, hey.
No, but just keep talking and pretend
it's
like
it's
not there.
Okay. Anyways, well, I just want to show you this real quick. So,
yeah, please.
Again, here's the keys of that structure, that object-like structure at the top, fail and success. If we want the values, we would just do it like this. It looks like JavaScript, to be honest, right? Like, this is kind of like how you access objects with their keys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get their values. So now, if we did Barkies, based on TJ's joke, all right, we now see we get the autocomplete of this, failed and success. And if we do bar values, we can now see we get the autocomplete. So this is like an alternative way to enums, which people actually like doing instead. Like I said, the other quirk is like with now Node, they have like this new, strip, I forget the name of it, but basically they don't want you using enums in Node in TypeScript. So
I feel like I missed something here just so that we make sure that we get through a maximum of 2 slides per hour. So I see what you're doing here or whatever this, I understand the example that you showed here, but what I must have missed somewhere in between those is why. So what was wrong with the enum version? And also, so like, for at least for me, what I would have wanted as a programmer when I was initially creating an enum is I wanted to see, this is probably because I'm coming from a background of like programming languages with enums that maybe work a little differently, but what I wanted to see was X parentheses success, no quotes around it. Because to me as a programmer, that lets me know, oh, this isn't a string, it's an enumerant. So this actually looks more confusing to the user, to me. So this looks worse than the enum case to me. And yet you're saying people go out of their way to do it this way. Why? What was wrong with the enum version that makes them want to do this?
I think this is more up for... I think it's kind of subjective in my opinion. So I'll tell you why I've seen people use it and why sometimes I use it. One, because it's no mystery on what's actually being compiled to. So like if you did an enum, you don't even know what that looks like at runtime, right? Because it's all compiled down. So at least here, I can actually see what the Java's output is going to be. So that's like one reason. So I can see the runtime code next to my types. It's not hidden behind the compiler.
Like they don't want to see 0, 1, 2, 3 is what you're saying. They
want
to see
Okay. Exactly. And then also the other end thing where you have to actually import, like if this was enum foo, I would have to do something like I'll do vim mode broke in the playground. Oh my goodness. Let me refresh it. I can't do this. Oh man, this thing sucks. Okay, anyways. So what you would normally do, you would do like foo dot failed, right? And you would have to, like import that. Here, you would actually, since you are familiar with the values, you could just do something like this and get everything right here. So it's like, that's more of a DX thing. I don't think it's like the biggest gain.
Well,
but I personally think people do it because of this. And then someone in the comments can tell you otherwise.
Okay.
But I think this is like the biggest win is actually seeing what the runtime code
is. I'm starting to understand. I see.
I think
okay.
Casey and you right. are talking I about two different things too, right? Because Casey's used to C style.
That,
where actually,
that answered my question.
They're like identifiers. Enumerations yeah. become identifiers for you to know yeah. about. Whereas in this world, you're actually having. It's not that. It's like these ethereal things that you actually reference with strings.
Yeah, let me show you another big footprint.
TJ has a thingy.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, he can't see me, so that's okay, Trash. I do think the CM Griffing, shout out CM Griffing in the chat, and I think this is the other main reason, is if you have to import, like, you got to remember as well, Casey, right? Like, people are not just shipping one blob of stuff sometimes. Sometimes this makes for, like, they are shipping one blob. They're shipping it to the front end. So this could mean, like, oh, you have an enum. You want to use it in your code. Okay, now I import this package, and now all of a sudden I'm going to balloon the size of my JS bundle. Normally, people like that kind of thing happening, but like in the web world, it's kind of a net negative to balloon your bundle. So they're trying not to have that happen. So if you can just do a string directly, you can avoid like that scenario.
If I had to summarize my understanding of it now, just having only seen this much, I guess I would say the problem is that JavaScript, the runtime layer, is basically forcing you to do one of two things. Either you can use some kind of constant that already exists in JavaScript, which is either going to have to be a string or a number, right? And if you choose number, then anyone who's calling this who's not using TypeScript is just going to see like 3 as the parameter, which is not what you want. You wanted something that they could actually read.
Yes.
So you have to pick string because it's your only other option for a constant, unless you were going to literally import an object whose references you could compare, or which is what you don't want to do. Is that a fairly reasonable summary for like why it's like, okay, because otherwise it would just all be numbers in the code and people don't want that because it can't be read in JavaScript. So it doesn't allow you to do like pound defines
correct.
Or anything.
Correct.
Right.
So here's one more interesting thing is like, so enums are automatically assigned number values to them. So like red and green, 0 and 1.
Yeah.
So if you define your enums like that, and then in your runtime code, you're depending on that order, you could easily break all your code by rearranging your the order of your values. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of normal for enums is what in general. Right?
Yeah. So that's like a footprint that people don't understand. So people like if you actually need to depend on values, you need to explicitly define them.
Got
Otherwise, they get implicit values, and if you're depending on those implicit values, you can usually just like mess up the logic.
They save something to disk and reread it, and they think that because it's named the same thing, it will still be equivalent, but it's not because we changed the order.
Yeah,
because
green would be 0, but it was 1 before.
You know what I mean?
So that could like nothing I've seen like too much in practice, like on my end professionally, but I can definitely see someone like doing
got
that.
It.
Especially since a bunch of the functions for numbers will accept just a raw number, right? We saw that earlier.
We saw
right?
that was happen,
like,
yeah.
So it's like that won't give you an error. That does seem like a recipe for disaster.
Right.
Love
exactly.
it. Learning a lot today. Loved Galactus.
Right. So here's another quirk that I think is very popular in the ecosystem that people like experience day to day. So like if we use like a filter function of Boolean, that's just like a fancy way of just filtering out falsy values.
Mm-hmm.
So like in this array, we have 1, undefined 3. The falsy value is going to be undefined here. So at runtime, if we log this, we get 1 and 3. So by looking at that output, we would expect, since it behaves this at runtime, that it would give us a type of like a number array, right? But what actually happens is we get number or undefined because it's not able to narrow that. So like the implication here is like there are workarounds with like things like flat map and like type guards. But even though you know for a fact at runtime you're never going to get undefined, you know have to like program defensively against this case because TypeScript will give you like those like red squigglies because it's like there could be an undefined here. So that's the annoying part. And this next thing, this one hit hard during the live thing. So I had like this thing here. This is Matt Pocock. He's like a big he's like a big person in the TypeScript community. Dude, everyone laughed so hard. I was so happy. I was like, man, I'm really, before I hit the button, I was like, please let everyone laugh. But anyway, so this is Matt Pocock. He built a library called TS Reset, and it will basically reset like these weird quirks that kind of go against your mental model. So if you use his library, it's kind of like a CSS reset, but at the type level or a TypeScript. So it would actually give you number array versus number undefined. And there's a bunch of other cases his library accounts for. But like looking at this though, like this is kind of annoying, and it's like a common thing people work around in their code bases. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's any comments here. Not like, again, like nothing too crazy, but it is like really, really annoying.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, because it's like, unless you special case filter and you basically say, all right, instead of treating filter as just a function that operates on an array, I now have to treat it as a special case where I know that it happens to remove things of a certain type from this array. Therefore, I should mutate the actual type of the array that it returns to be different from the type of the array that it takes, which would be a very unusual thing for a compiler to do. So it makes perfect sense why they did it this way. I can also understand why people get confused when they do it.
Yeah,
but
I think the core, so like the workarounds, like it just gets verbose, like having to do like a type guard or
there's some oddities.
It just kind of goes
this
against your mental model.
Right. So the big thing is can actually throw a generic on filter, but Boolean is a constructor, so it doesn't really understand that Boolean is also a function. You can treat Boolean as a function, and so it kind of blows up, and Boolean just returns, you know, it returns the positive case. So it has a really, it has this hard time mapping through things. And so it looks like it can't do it. So you can't use generics and a Boolean thing because the constructor returns not that. And so filter kind of explodes.
You could imagine something even more ridiculous, right? Like if just to illustrate how odd this kind of case is, right? Is like, let's suppose that you imagine something where you're like, we have a typed array, and you're like, what type of stuff does this have in it? It's like, oh, you know, like imagine you distinguish between integers and floating point values. So numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 versus 3.21354, right? And you can create one of these, and it has a mixed set. So it's got 1 and 1.5 in it, right? And then you have some mathematical function or something like this that goes through and rounds all the values. Like, you wouldn't intuitively expect the compiler to now change the type of the thing that you were, right? Because it's just something that happened to end up being true after some operations occurred on this thing. And that's sort of what's happening here. And, you know, when we're in C or C++ or something like that, it's very rigidly typed, and like everything has a specific storage type as well, as opposed to sort of this generic storage type like JavaScript uses, then it's very hard to get these kind of corner cases. Because look, if you had storage for a double, then you're always going to think of that as a double no matter what value it takes, right? And so you don't expect it to be able to handle anything like this, because there's nothing like this that can happen. But when you're in a very flexible language where the type of things can kind of mutate all the time, I feel like that creates real difficulties for the compiler vendor who wants to try and make it appear as if these things are more rigidly typed. So this to me makes perfect sense. And like, I can totally see why people are confused, but like, yeah, that's exactly what I would expect it to do too, is the weird behavior. Cause that's just like, yeah, what else do you do? Except special case, or like that dude did make libraries to try and like special case all the things that might trip you up and try to fix them like ad hoc basically, you know? So this seems fine. I'm down.
So, Casey, I understand something that might blow your mind is if you redo this, you put a generic on filter with number. So it's like, hey, it'll return a type number, and then pass in a function that checks for it to not be undefined, because the thing that got passed in was of type number and undefined, or undefined as an array of one of those two possibilities, and your filter function filters out specifically undefines, it's able then to infer that the thing coming out is only numbers.
Okay, so
it was trying a little bit advanced kind of type checking in there.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this is, like I said, I can totally see this. Just like, look, there's probably a bunch of cases like that. They caught some of them. They didn't catch others, you know. And so, yeah, so good on them for catching any, honestly, I think. Yeah.
All right. Ready for more. Hold on. Let me see.
Yeah.
So we're moving so slow that I'm going to have to, like, pick another one. Okay, this one's interesting. All right. So at the type level, we're going to have empty braces versus object versus lowercase object. And honestly, this literally trips up everybody. I don't think it's like as much of a common case anymore because people just like explicitly type with like a name or something. But like when you look at this, you kind of expect all three of those to be very similar, right? At least that's like how I react when I see something like this. So if we look at how TypeScript responds, so we'll just have two variables here. We have foo and one with lowercase object, one with the empty braces, right? So if we do the one on the left, this one is going to, this one actually aligns with most people's mental models. It's going to have an object and an array, right? Those are both objects, but any primitive value will not be accepted. So, you know, Booleans, null and defined, strings. So this makes sense. But what's interesting, like if people are familiar with JavaScript, empty braces represent an object, right? I think like most people would probably think it would behave the same way. But the interesting part is that it accepts literally everything but null or undefined. And that's not very intuitive when you kind of look at this. I actually see a lot of code bases where people just say like something extends empty object when they actually mean they just want something to be like of an object-like structure. But what's happening is you're literally doing numbers, Booleans, and objects, right? So you end up allowing way more than you want. So this is something that like, this is actually a huge problem I've seen pretty much in every company I've ever been in doing this kind of syntax. So that's the interesting part. Like,
why isn't it just only, why isn't foo just like only an empty object? Is there some sort of like writing about why it, like, because if you did squirrely brace, but you put one key in it, then it's structurally that one key. But once you remove it, it becomes everything. Why isn't it just like it only allows for empty objects?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong. We have to look at the compiler code on that one. I don't know. I just know like what the like result is. But yeah, this is kind of weird. And I always found that to be a foot gun because like at face value, these all kind of look the same. But yeah, I don't know. I would have to look at the compiler code to see like exactly why. Or maybe someone in the YouTube comments can explain who's on the TypeScript team could like explain that to us. This is like a perfect episode to be mansplained in the comments.
Right, sure. Right. What's weird about it to me is more that it doesn't accept null and undefined. Because otherwise I'd be like, oh well, maybe they just decided that open brace, close brace is the shorthand for I don't know what this thing is yet. Like it's just like I'm just like telling you that this variable will exist, but I'm not gonna say what it is yet. Which, mm-hmm. you know, we do in other languages, for sure. But the fact that you can't make it be null or undefined makes it seem like it's like, okay, well, we do want to say something about it, but we just don't want to say that much. And it's like, what is the use case for that exactly? Like, why do we need that? So I would be interested to hear, you know.
So we have a type for, like, the case you mentioned. It's called type unknown. It's a built-in type. And that's, like, if you literally don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And then you basically have to, like, validate at runtime what it is because we just don't know. Okay. We don't want you just to be, like, accessing an object if it's not an object or something. Yeah.
Or, and like, this is definitely not that because you can't make it be null. Like, you can't decide that it's just not anything, right? You know, so I don't really know. This is pretty interesting. I'll be interested to see the YouTube comment on that.
We did get one comment in chat, which does seem at least plausible. Thanks, Spion 669. Null and undefined throw when you attempt property access. So that's what I was wondering, because I think you can do like 42.length, right? Or not length probably, but like 42.toString, right?
Right.
Or something like that.
Oh, because structurally it's an object still. Maybe? Oh, its prototype is still an object at the tippity top.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Is that
I
it?
I can buy that.
Oh, I don't know if that is.
I can buy that. I don't know if that's right, but I can buy it.
I don't buy it. I'm confused.
What you'll pay for it, Trash.
It seems plausible. Yeah. Let me ask my man Claude. Let's see if he agrees.
Because I would assume of squirrely brace would be true.
So far, this one is the first one that really does seem to earn a WTF legit. Like, no, like, I don't know, man. Like, WTF.
Like, if you see this in code, like, probably just be like, don't do this.
Or okay, yeah.
Have, like, a good reasoning.
All right.
I don't know. Okay, hold on. Let me see. Where are we at? I know we're getting short on time here. I want to...
Trash, we're never short on time for you, brother. Like, take as much time as you want.
It's true. This is one thing I wanted to show Casey. So this isn't actually, like, weird type stuff. But this is a doom in TypeScript that my friend Dimitri did.
Okay.
So this is what it took for him. You're going to see what... I mean, I'm not sure. Wait, are you familiar with this or no?
He doesn't
know.
You're not okay. This is perfect.
So, trillion lines.
So what? With 3.5 trillion lines of code, which is about 177 terabytes, whoa, with 12 days of running said code and through a type checker and just being like mentally ill, this is what you're gonna get in TypeScript. You're gonna get the first frame of Doom rendered in TypeScript.
So this is someone doing
types.
Types. Yeah, so this is okay. Types. I see. So this is someone who basically said, look, is TypeScript's compiler Turing complete? And the answer was
exactly.
Yes.
Literally. Yeah, exactly.
And they were like,
the funny thing is at render, someone was doing TypeScript is Turing complete like a couple hours before mine. And we both referenced this. I was like, nah! Like fell to my knees. No, I'm just kidding. But I was just like, oh man, oh, I'm a fraud. Okay. And last thing, and I kind of want to show you something else after this, is you can do math in TypeScript, right? So if we see like type foo, sum, we pass in 1321, we get 34 because math, right? What I really wanted to show like the audience was like, what does the resulting type look like? And this is how you accomplish this. So this is one of the cleaner implementations. Shout out Team Chong. I think he's like very popular in the open source community. So this is like, and it's going to scroll. So you go like this, and this is what you get if you want to implement sum in TypeScript. Ideally, no one does this. Like, it's more just like pushing the limits of TypeScript, seeing what is possible. Like, people have done like bubble sort and all this stuff.
Yep.
But it's just like crazy what you can do in the type system. So like, I got really addicted to type challenges, which is like basically LeetCode for types.
Yep.
So like, I absolutely just like, I got tired of like, I never was like a big LeetCode person, but I did do it because like if I was interviewing, but when I found out about like type challenges where you can basically do type challenges like this, I got like addicted for like a year and I just like went through like almost like, not like all of them cause they get like pretty big brain, but I did like 100+ and I just got, this is like what kind of unlocked TypeScript for me. I was very much a normal application developer using TypeScript, you know, just doing type, like basic type declarations. But then once I started doing these like challenges, like I just completely unlocked like a different like avenue in my brain. And I was able to just do like gnarly stuff at the type level. And it was very helpful because I was helping with like libraries at work. I write libraries, and doing this allows me to like give the quote unquote best developer experience to like my consumers. Right. You don't have to do stuff like exactly at this level, but you do like pretty insane stuff that looks like spaghetti code and you can't read. So there's one thing that I think Casey's going to appreciate, which I glossed over in this, and this is TypeScript performance. So sure, you see all this code, but this is a very real scenario that I'm experiencing now as we speak. Let's imagine we have a huge monorepo that has tons of contributors. You have potentially some code gen, you have a lot of like user generated types. But now when you're doing when you're working the code base, right? So this is me working in my code base. Let's imagine this auto suggestion taking like 10 seconds to appear.
Oh.
Right? Or let's imagine your build taking tens of like, you know, like 15+ minutes to just compile types, right? And that's like a very real scenario, and it's a scale not many people hit, depending on like, I don't know, the work they're doing. So being able to fix these performance bottlenecks is actually like black magic. I think there's maybe, I'm just gonna, this is just my general observation, but I think there's maybe like, I can count on my hands how many people actually know that are probably not on the like actual core team that could actually help you debug your like your performance and try to kind of help like build this. So what they give you is, with like not really much documentation, you get something like, you get like a tracer and you get these graphs, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yep.
So what I do is I run this and then I try my best to like figure out where the bottlenecks are. But then even when I find out what they are, it's hard to tell why it's behaving this way. Because when you're looking at types, you need to understand really in depth, like, you know, which types do lazy evaluation? Can I make this lazy? How does the caching work at the type level? Like if I do this kind of type, is it going to cache to where, you know, I can reuse that and things are performant? So you have to like really dig super deep into these like really obscure things, and they're not documented. There's literally nothing really on the internet that can help you get through this. So this is like my biggest WTF right now, because I asked for help on Twitter because I was like literally like at like my rope's end. And luckily some people like reached out to me. But even then it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's like kind of like guessing at its best. So I'm hoping like eventually like with TS Go, we're going to use that. And that's going to hopefully speed up things, because with Go is going to be significantly, I think it's like a 10 times performance gain, potentially, depending on how your code is written, I guess, or how your code base looks. So this is like one of the big things I thought you would appreciate. It's just like, I don't know how it's like debugging performance in some of your ecosystems where it's kind of just black magic and you're kind of just like, you just kind of just F around and find out. Cause that's basically what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this type looks gnarly. Let me just like try different things and then run it again and see if it just got better by like 50 milliseconds. And that's basically my life right now.
Well, a lot of times what we'll do in those kind of circumstances when we have like, it's like black box performance operations, optimization, right? Where you're like, okay, I need this thing to go faster, but I have either no or very limited ability to get diagnostics from inside the box, right? Like, so, you know, you got a flame graph here, but I'm imagining, so I kind of implicit in what you were saying, or at least I assumed based on what you were saying, if I were to hover over the parts of this flame graph, it's going to tell me like what function the TypeScript compiler was in, but it's not going to tell me like on behalf of whom. So it's not going to say like, it's because I was compiling this type or because I was compiling this dispatch, I'm assuming.
So what is going to happen is this one's not showing you exactly, but it's going to give you some line numbers. So you're actually going to have to look at the AST version of your TypeScript code to map like the position to like your actual code.
That's kind of handy though.
Yeah. Yeah. Then. So like, so you have to basically look at the ASTs. Even then it doesn't even map one-to-one usually from my experience.
Sure, of course. Yeah. It couldn't, right?
Cause... Exactly. But even then, once you kind of figure out where it is, you have a whole nother can of worms on like, now you have to understand at the compiler level how these types are handled and like, why is this being slow versus like potentially another avenue. And those things are like not really said at all that I realized doing now that I'm like in this world. So this is like, it's not something that many people can relate to until you have to do it, if that makes sense.
Isn't this?
And what size are we talking about here in terms of like, I mean, I'm guessing there is basically an interplay here. There's the size of the code base, but then there's also like the level of complexity of type things you're doing. So I'm imagining like that thing you showed before that was using like a number of parameters cracker at the bottom. I've seen those. They're used in C and C++ as well to make macros that take different numbers of arguments, for example. So I'm guessing that also it depends on how much of that kind of stuff you're doing. Like if the compiler is having to churn through lots of transformations that you've told it to do, like using that kind of type metaprogramming, basically, I'll call it for now. So is it basically like an interplay of those two things? Like how much type metaprogramming do you have? Plus how big is the code base? So like how much are we asking it to do?
Right.
There's like some weird fuzzy function of like, if you hit too much of both of those, then you're in no man's land or.
Exactly. So like in my experience, what I've learned so far is our problem is kind of unique. It's just literally the sheer number of explicit types, because we use CodeGen to generate some stuff.
Okay.
But also it's also like you said, like inference, like if we're having TypeScript try to figure it out, when you do that, it really bogs down TypeScript. So what you typically have to do is be very explicit with your types and just be like, this is what it outputs. You don't need to figure it out on your own. Let me explicitly type the return type of this function. And TypeScript like, okay, now I don't have to go in and analyze everything. Oh, this is going to output like an object with like these objects
or
with
these properties. Okay.
Let me just give you an explicit type. And you have to kind of like cast, you do like as and stuff, and that kind of helps as well. But it's kind of just like, there's like a lot of different quirks you can do.
So TypeScript has the functional programming, the classic functional programming compiler problem where it's like a bad exponential because you don't ever have to say what the types are of functions, it's just implied based on what the function does. Then if a function calls another function, calls another function, calls another function, and so on, you end up with this permutation of it having to like solve the whole chain and see like what would it actually be. TypeScript has this as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Okay.
But so check this out. Here's like another thing, even outside of this. So let's just assume I have a type file that's like 60 megs big. Like that's huge, right? Just TypeScript types.
Yeah.
What you now need to do is you now need to slice and dice this file and have it only pertain to like the specific pieces of the code base that actually care about it. So right now, especially most people in chat, probably they probably have just like one big like file, or they have some files and they kind of just build their whole project at one time. But when you hit this certain kind of scale, you kind of have to slice and dice your project to only care about specific things. So you're not, so you can like, you basically have like a bunch of different processes that take like 5 seconds versus one process that takes like 10 minutes or something.
I see.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
So like in the thing with TypeScript, it basically like will statically just crawl your imports and look at every file. So like if you had one file that was importing like 10 files, TypeScript, the compiler will go and go span out to those 10 files. And then those 10 files are most definitely importing something.
Right.
So then you just end up with this huge problem. So you have to be very like surgical with
yep.
like how you're splitting everything up. Cause you don't want that to like leak in places it doesn't need to. So like in my, so right now I'm kind of in hell cause we have such a big code base. I have to figure out where all these little spider webs kind of span out to and kind of try to keep them in their lane.
Yep.
So we're kind of hoping like TSGO is going to save us in some aspects, but at the same time, like what happens is when you hit this scale, you have to be very intentional with how you format your code base. Cause most people are just like, ugh, glob the whole thing. Let's go build. Yep. Takes 5 seconds. Cause my code base is like
yep.
maybe 50 files, but yep. yeah, not the case for me. And I'm like feeling that pain so hard.
You guys reinvented the TypeScript world has reinvented the bad C, C++ compilation situation where you end up having to build all these modules. Oh my God. This is crazy.
Well, I mean, very all few right. projects get this big. So like, to be fair, I mean, right. Netflix for is sure. one of the very few companies that are operating on this level. Do the LSP still crash pretty regularly? Because I like I couldn't get TS server to work for like a year straight, and I was just like, forget this.
I had a slide. I skipped over a slide, but it was like, is this a TypeScript error or is my server dead? let's just restart. Let's just restart just to be sure. Like I'm at the point where like I'm just like, is that a error? Let's give that boy a restart and see what happens. And that's like the classic TypeScript experience, to be honest. Especially like when you like get into bigger code bases, but man, it is rough.
Is there like a practical kind of set of tools you can give developers to help this problem not scale as fast? Like I hate ESLint generally speaking. Can you throw in some mm-hmm. TSLint that's like, hey, you didn't explicitly type your return function. You must return.
Yeah, so there's TypeScript ESLint. Yeah,
has there been a change?
There's a lot of TypeScript roles.
Where people are actually doing that at Netflix, or is it still kind of like you don't have to do that?
I don't think you do it until it's a problem. I think that's kind of
yeah,
what
but
it, I think I mean that's not really unique to us. That's yeah. like everybody, right? It's not a problem until it is. You ignore it, and then once it's a thing, you're like, oh man, I done messed up. But I've definitely
that's
like,
a very human experience. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So like I'm kind of like slowly trying to tell people what we're experiencing, like. Be like, you know, just be careful out there. But yeah, it sucks because like you said, like Netflix has such a unique scale that we now have to just care about things that no one cares about. It's like, but you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But yeah, that's all I got.
Thanks, Trash.
I mean, we weren't like on the script as my talk, but dude, so just to like backtrack to my talk, like this was my first big conference talk and it was at the end of the conference. So it was like 3-day conference. I was at the last day, almost at the very end. And I was like terrified no one was going to come, but turned out, dude, I had like a packed out room. People were laughing at my jokes.
Nice.
Like, I felt like so relieved. But beforehand, I was like doing stretches on stage, just trying to calm down. And I tried to like meditate. I like just sat there, took like 10 deep breaths. I was like,
Did you go to the bathroom stall and stand really big, increase testosterone, do all the like power stances?
I drank like 50 bottles of water on stage before my talk, and I had to pee so bad.
Oh no!
Classic talk mistake.
This is one thing. One thing I'll say is like, I used to like. This was probably like my first conference that was like multi-day. Like I've been to React Miami. That I don't think that's as big as like the one I went to, but like the. I don't know, like the support. I never felt like the support from like speaking at a conference before, because usually I did like virtual ones because of COVID. And man, it was like pretty eye-opening. Like, you know, some of the people you see online, you know, very super nice in person. Like, kind of just changed my perspective on the whole thing of just like the community, like of like conference speakers and people that tend to go to conferences regularly, kind of just like changed my mind. Like not really about those people specifically, but more of like the community around it. So it was pretty nice. I don't know if I'll ever do it again because it was very stressful. Like this was actually pretty stressful for me to do on this podcast. But
you crushed it, Trash.
Well, yeah, it was nice because there was a lot of back and forth banter, so that made it like all worth it. So.
That made it all worth it. I love that.
I actually think this was really awesome. Because this is one of those things where unless you used it, you just don't know about any of them. And I think a lot of people are actually pretty surprised about mm-hmm. what's done. I am going to say you didn't bring up my most hated feature of them all, which is
not this one again, dude. What it's is your hate? Literally what? Just go back and watch a stream, Vaz. If you randomly go inside of it, you'll we're doing it. Run shut up, TJ.
You can have you did kind of briefly kind of get close to it. You know how you had number end or undefined?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me switch my camera so you can.
No,
go
you're on full mode right now. You're full screened. We're not changing it.
Oh, big trash.
Big trash. You know how you can have like a number or undefined, or you can do number or string. That's an array.
Oh, I've seen you talk about this before.
Yeah, you can pass that into a function that only accepts string arrays.
Yeah. I saw you talk about that.
Pull it up on the TypeScript Playground thing, and we'll show Casey.
Yeah, pull it up here. I can send you a code example if you need me to. This just blows.
Just give me some pasta.
Yeah. Here. I find this to be such a funny thing.
Prime's cooking the pasta. He's boiling
he's in the
water.
Boys.
He's in the kitchen. He's cooking up some
salt
tasty pasta. Dude.
Salt the taste, right?
Why are you
now?
Share your screen?
Just because I don't have it set up, and so we're not gonna do it. All right,
Trash. This is your presentation, even if it's Prime's example. Okay.
I don't remember the example exactly, but I remember watching a stream where he's like, "What is this?" And I feel like he's brought it up like 10 times.
Just because
That's exactly what I'm saying. I've heard this 100 times.
If he's already at TypeScript, he brings it up literally.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, are we talking things I hate about TypeScript? Oh, I've got one in the back pocket." If they fix this in the compiler, Prime is done for.
Right, that's the end of his streaming career. It's like
he's got
there's no
go
to anymore. There's no go to.
They can't fix this because it's not a thing. Right.
Oh, that's what you think.
It's I ran into this with logging. So when I was doing a bunch of logging, this is what got me. Was during a logging day working through a bunch of logging, and then I just got really sad, you know? Here you go, Trash. I'm not sure how to send this to you, so I'm going to send it to you via Twitter DMs.
Whoa.
Send it to me on Discord.
I don't know. Are we friends?
Make a GIST.
Oh, we are friends. We are friends.
Make a GIST.
I know, but then I have
Dude,
to go to
like
GISTing, and then I have...
We have places where we're talking with them.
You can also just post in the stand-up.
Yeah, I'll post it in the stand-up. There you go.
My Discord is updating. It's going to take forever.
They're compiling types.
Remind me to close Discord before I share my screen.
Smart,
I am
smart.
Notorious for leaking everything in existence.
I am
Discord
too.
Probably was watching this. They probably just updated all their TypeScript to fix the problems you were saying, so they had to click update. You know
like,
I mean?
We're on it. They're watching it right now, just like really angry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're like, oh my goodness, he's so right about enums. Get those out of here.
Dude,
cost,
they have been around
cost,
for so
cost.
Long, enums. And the worst part is that when you first start off on TypeScript, your first thought is, enums are the right choice because this is what I want. And it takes you forever to discover you've been using them wrong. I feel like that is by far one of the biggest WTFs of all time. All
right. What are we looking at here? I actually don't remember.
Okay, just look at it.
Your problem
what is
now,
foo?
Now that I'm looking at it. String
okay,
array.
Okay, what does bar take in?
An array that has number or string.
Yeah, and what do you pass into bar? A string array. And what does bar do to the array? Pushes a number.
That's right.
Yeah,
it
totally.
It
could screw you.
Trash, show us the type of bar afterwards.
Yeah, what's the type? Yeah, what's the type of or what's the type of foo
or,
afterwards?
I mean, the result of bar foo. You know.
Well, you don't assign anything.
Oh shoot!
Right, so it's still just string array the whole time.
Yeah, it's just string array, and that. Yeah, well, foo does it doesn't return anything.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You can just look at foo, though. Like, what is foo? Foo should be a set of strings, because then you afterwards could have a function that, say, calls contains or includes or whatever it is on the array, and the array now has something that doesn't contain that function and will explode and will fly under the radar.
So this has happened to you? Like,
Yeah, it happened to me on Netflix when doing the gaming stuff for logging. Because we had like we had such a crazy logging thing that if you look on my GitHub, there's a project called Undefined where I take like 1 million query results from Mongo. This is back when we had Mongo running all gaming. It took 1 million query results from Mongo, converted all of those into types, and then figured out all the unions to reduce all the types. So we had so many different types that some of the types were kind of goofy. So you had to, like, you knew you were going to be these collection of various unions. And so I'd do something to the union or have functions that take in subsets of the unions, not realizing it was actually even a stricter subset. And then would, you know, it was just very, very difficult. And obviously this was a problem of my own.
Here? Did you end up just programming defensively about
everything?
Like,
yeah. You just have to, just had to be.
Can I ask a remedial question here?
Yeah.
What is const doing there? Because you're pushing something onto it. So it's obviously not const.
Casey, you just hit the funniest argument of all time in
JavaScript. Welcome to JavaScript, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said remedial, because I'm like, I'm sure this is something that's come up before, but like, what's the deal?
You just can't change, like, its reference, but you can mutate it directly, right?
So is there any actual saying that the contents are const, or can you only const just the reference?
At the JavaScript level,
in JavaScript, if you want it to be like purely frozen, you can do object.freeze. And if you want to do it at the type level, we can do like as const.
Can you do object.freeze on an array?
Pretty sure. I haven't used object.freeze in like forever.
And that would mean that now it would be an error. If anyone tries to push, it'll just be like, you can't.
There you go. Yeah.
But you can still push a frozen array into a function that mutates it.
Well, I guess not. Does this return something? I haven't used freeze in a while. Does this actually return something?
It returns a new one.
Yeah, it turns a read-only one. There you go.
Okay, so A is the thing we can't push.
There you go.
Yeah, can you pass A in the bar?
And like, what's the error? What does the error say? Just so I can see.
Does not exist on read-only
string.
Can you push A in the bar? Or can you put A in the bar? I can't remember if that's a thing you can do.
Can I put?
Can you call bar with A? I can't. I no, just call A or call bar with A. Okay, nice. Okay, so the read only does go that direction. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can do const. It's just it's not that particular syntax, but.
Oh, that works.
There is a constant.
That works.
WTF, that works. I don't know.
I actually didn't think that was going to work, but.
Well, hold on, Trash. Was the LSP broken, or was it an actual error?
Restart.
Run it back.
I know, exactly. Let me refresh the browser. I don't actually know. Oh, dude, we just lost it. Okay, it's gone forever. I'm not typing that again.
So, can I ask another question here? So I'm assuming that this is not really... Like, I'm assuming that this example is...
It's rare.
It doesn't even need to have as many moving parts, right? Because, like, maybe it does. So before you had a way of typing things, can you put number or string up in the original definition? So it's const foo colon number or string and then the thing as well?
So you want me to do this, right?
No, I was just curious. So we can say whichever types we want. So, okay, so my question is, you don't have to do that. So would the push work even before you passed it to a thing? So if you said const foo string and you pushed 3, just with it in full sight of the fact that it was only supposed to be strings, what would happen?
So you're saying, can I do foo push 1?
Yeah.
Oh, that should definitely work. That should definitely break.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All right.
Yeah, the problem is it just can't narrow it down.
Yeah.
Pressing something down.
Yeah. It's like rectangles and squares, right? Foo's a square, number bar takes in a rectangle.
This to me seems like a legit compiler bug.
It's not.
To me, but it does seem like one, because in this case, if what we're basically saying, because in order for this to make any sense logically, right, what we're saying here is that the or is not a type definition, meaning it's not saying that I only accept number or string types, which is probably what it should have been based on how it's compiling. So it's compiling this as if what you said was, I will take only things that support number and string, not either or, but, you know, it can support both. But then what it's doing is it's actually accepting either. So it's compiling as if it's and accepting as if it's or. That just seems like a straight up bug. So I'd love to see someone justify that, because I don't buy that. There's two ways you could have made this work. One is the first way, which is you say that's an actual requirement. So if you tried to pass the string one, it would just error and say, no, I only accept number or string types. And then the other one would be when you actually make the call, if it actually was supposed to be more like a template where it says I'll accept either or of these, then it should have done a compilation error check on that function as if it had just said type of string, which it definitely didn't do because it would have given you an error on the push, right? So I'm calling this a bug. This is a bug. YouTube comments, I will fight you next time on this. This is a bug. You should have picked one or the other to do, and if you did neither, then it's a bug.
Hey, guess what, TJ? I told you it was a good piece of content. TJ's over there being all upset at me for bringing up my favorite thing, being like, oh, here's Prime bringing up his classic thing. This is great, because I knew Casey would be like, what? I don't get this. What the heck's happening here?
I'm right there with you. Because there were two ways you could have done this correctly, and they chose neither. So, like, I would be impressed if someone in the YouTube comments can convince me that this is not, like, just a bad design. That this is not just a bug in the way you've defined the way. Like, this is just a bug.
Here's why they can't fix it, is because it would make JavaScript, that it would just break everything that they've already done in JavaScript world. That's the main reason.
That's a good answer, by the way.
They had to make TypeScript incrementally adoptable for JavaScript, and I don't see
that explanation being valid here.
It doesn't look so in this case, the main problem is that there's no way to say whether something is going, there's no mutability axis in the type system for TypeScript, right? So there's no way to say, like, there is, but, like, not when you're writing it this way. There's no way to tell you, actually, I'm going to mutate the array that I'm passing. So, like, in a normal case, what you're saying is if this function takes numbers or string arrays, that's fine. It does successfully handle that case. That function does not break any promises of its function signature or its return type. The problem is there's a separate axis of it has mutated that array to now basically upgrade or, like, mutate the type itself. It now took something that was, you know, possibly a number array or a string array and turned it into either a number array or number or string array. But that's not tracked in the type system at all.
Oh, no.
I don't know
but
why
it
trash...
Hold on, yeah, I'm coming back.
I know, don't worry. I've switched the grid, so at least we don't have that as the full thing. But this is good. Right. This is great.
No, but, yeah, like, I went through the different cases, and I trash typed them in. We saw, literally, that the compiler can go, oh, if I have something that's declared as only a string, as only an array of strings, and I try to push one, it will error, right? Now, what that says to me is that it actually was, it has the logic for looking at push and saying, if it's a string, I can't do it. So when someone called that function and you said you passed a string, what it should have done is do the type checking on that function at that time, at the dispatch point, right? This is how template compiling works in C. At the dispatch point to go, could I actually have this function evaluate with this type? And the answer is clearly no, even if they run the code they already have in the compiler, because we saw it error on the push code. So this is a bug in the compiler. It should have done that type checking, and it should have done, like, again, this is my first time seeing TypeScript, so maybe I'm missing something, but, like, no, from what I saw, this is a bug. This is a bug that should have been fixed, because you should have done at the dispatch point, and you should have gone, I'm instantiating one of string, I'm effectively instantiating a version of this function call that would be used for string. And I don't have to actually instantiate a new version of the function. I just have to do the type checking for that function. And it didn't do that. It should have done that. So fight me, YouTube.
I would love nothing more than this bug getting fixed and never have to hear Prime talk about this on another podcast or stream or video again. So you're preaching to the choir big time. If there's a way that this can get fixed, I will be so happy. I will stand TypeScript for months. I will say it's a great programming language. Yeah. I will say
TJ's positivity arc already ended. It's already gone.
Well, let me Here, let me just illustrate, like, just to be clear, like, what I'm talking about. So I'm trying to make a mental model of the compiler in my head, right?
Yep.
So when I define a function, right, I'm going to have a function, and 99% of the time, that function is going to have an explicit type, let's say. So it's going to say, like, I take, like he had before, I take person. I take type person, right?
Yep.
And so in that case, you can just type check the function at the time when you're actually just looking at the function. In other words, there's only one type check that only has to happen for this, and that is the type check for the type that it said it took. But as soon as you have an or in there, then what the compiler should have done is it should have said, okay, I don't know how this will be called yet, right? Because now one option is we could type check all permutations, string, number, and string or number. But the problem is, as you add more of those, you could get into a thing where it's like, okay, we're in factorial land, so and then your compile time blows up. So you wouldn't do that. All you would do is say, okay, I'm going to defer type checking of this function. I'm going to defer it until it's called, right? That's what you would do. You could still run a type check on it if you just want to run a type check to see if it ever could do it, right? Meaning if you could do the inclusive type check of like all possible things if you want to. You could do that if you want to. I don't care. But point being, we should put it aside and say, okay, here's the, like, effectively, like, it's a template. Here's all the things that could have been called as. We're just going to remember those, right? Then as it goes through call points, what the compiler should do is look at the call point. It should go, okay, do I have a cached type check for this type signature that I'm about to dispatch? Right? If the answer is yes, then I don't need to do anything because I've already outputted the errors or not any errors if it was correct. If I don't have a cached version of that type combination that is passing in, I need to do the type check now. I do that type check, and if it's an error, I put the error on the dispatch point, right? And I say, invocation of this would have created an error at this line in the function, meaning the push would fail because it's pushing an integer and I only had a string array, right? That is what the compiler should have done. You would then put that in the cache, so you'd never do it again, so it's not a performance penalty to do this, right? But that's how you would do it. And so if they're not doing that, I would argue that's a bug. And someone would have to explain to me why that compilation process I just described somehow create some unworkable situation that simply won't allow us to create JavaScript anymore. Like you were saying, like if there's, I'm totally willing to believe there's something I don't know that's that. But of the things I've been shown, there's no reason that compilation model wouldn't work. So I would consider it a bug till someone explains to me what the secret thing is that makes this not possible. Does that make sense?
Well, the code still runs. It's that. TypeScript now lies about its types, right? That would be the thing. So I'm okay with saying it's a bug in the sense like the TypeScript compiler, right?
Yeah.
It needs to either update its type or say, hey, this type is actually like becomes expanded afterwards.
No, it doesn't need to do that at all. It just needs to output the error.
Yeah, it would be fine in the case where we're explicitly typing it with saying string like array at the beginning. But like I'm saying, TypeScript's design is not like has to have been from the start. And maybe like they could release TypeScript 6.0 and change their mind about it because now it's a very different situation. Was like code that runs in JavaScript, like they want it to still kind of be able to run in TypeScript land, right? Like you can,
but it will.
It's still an array.
But it will. Everything right. I just said, like literally nothing happens to the TypeScript compiler at all except that if you pass something that wasn't a type that could make this function compile normally, then it will produce the error, right? So it's literally just asking for that error to be produced when you use a dispatch that would have been illegal. It's not asking to mutate any types.
Yeah, but
no
it's
types
not.
Are
I think
changed,
like dispatch right? is probably, I don't know. I think like, I don't know. Maybe like in this case, they could solve this one, but I don't think like exhaustively they can solve this like problem because sometimes this works. Like it's if they didn't, they would have to then. There's nothing in the type like for the function. There's nothing in the type for the function that says it mutates this. So if you're like it needs to get expanded out like a template, and then they could check everything if it works. That would like. Trash is saying TypeScript compiler doesn't scale for them. Like, I promise you, it is doing a lot of things to avoid getting to like anywhere close to the situation where you're talking about right now. It is not a tenable option for them to like make it look or act like a template. Like, if it says it takes these things in as the type, then like that's what it has. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
I mean, it kind of does, but I mean, I'm just saying that in the worst case scenario, then really all you're going to get is a few more compiles of this. I mean, okay, so I guess what I would say is it sounds to me like TypeScript already is not providing some kind of guarantee on compile time.
There's right? not generic. So in other words, the thing you're thinking of is you have this like generic picture in your head that doesn't exist. There's only one function that ever exists. And so it doesn't actually have a string version of the string number or a number version of the string number. It just
But it's not, I'm not asking it for it to change the code. I'm just saying it could just run it to type check. It just has to run the type
check. I see what you're saying, Casey. Right? Like, I get what you're saying. Because you're saying, like, if we imagined this more like how templates work, in the sense that, like, it's duck typing, I want to see, does this work for a number array, does this work for a string array, or does this work for a number or string array? Like, I get what you're saying there, and you're saying, hey, if you passed in a pure string array, this should error because we're now going to push a number into it, and now you're lying about the type.
Yeah, the type expanded effectively internally.
Right. Yes.
Well, I'm not really saying that explicitly. All I'm trying to say is the existing compiler that they have already does this error checking. So another way to say this would be, let's suppose that what you were saying was a legitimate defense of this behavior. If that was the case, then the dot push one that Trash put in should have worked. Because your argument here, right, is that, well, I don't want to handle expanding types. I just want to go like, okay, if it was in JavaScript, it should work. So the push one should have worked everywhere. But the fact that the push one didn't work on something that it knew was a string is misleading to the programmer, because now it's telling the programmer that what this thing does is it type checks the type you have against the functions that you're calling on that type. And then when a programmer goes and passes a string type to this function, they very clearly would expect that function to run the type check, which would have dot push one fail, because there isn't any additional analysis that it needs to do. It's the exact same analysis it was already doing on the push one before. So what I'm saying is, literally, they don't even have to do any new work. They don't have to check any different types, nothing. All they have to do is, when they have their OR operator for types, they just have to remember, okay, I should store the fact that I haven't type checked this function completely yet. That's it. So I'll do one type check on it, which is the one I'm already doing. The compiler stays the same currently, but I record a little thing into my table of, because, you know, it's got a table of functions and their types. That's the only way it can do any of the rest of the type check it's about to do. So I have a table of functions and their types. Every time I see someone call one, what I should do is rerun the type checker. Now, if you're worried about compile time, you could have a flag to turn this off. If you're like, don't check my dispatches, right? You could do that if that's what you want. But presumably the only reason people are adding all of the compile time overhead of TypeScript in the first place is because they wanted the type checking. So what you should at least do is have a thing that every time you have a dispatch, you go and look, have I type checked this version of the dispatch? And if you haven't, you just call the type checker. It will literally just work. Like, that's all you need to do is just have a little cache of what type combinations have you type checked. That's it. There's no NOR code generation, nothing. Like, it's the exact same compiler otherwise. It just calls the type checker on more permutations. Yeah. That's it.
No, I think I understand what you're saying. But unfortunately, we are actually out of time for this episode. We have to shut this down.
This was a long one.
Thanks, Trash.
I'll come back, Casey, with a research opinion on this.
I was enjoying their banter. I was just admiring the discussion.
I'm going hard on this one because I want an actual explanation from somebody who can tell me why we can't do this. Like, let's go do this in the compiler tomorrow. That's the stream. We add this type checker.
Oh, I love that. There we go.
Right?
I would love to get it fixed. That would make me happy.
This is doable, people. This is doable.
Yeah.
This is doable out there. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. We can't add anymore. I love you, Casey. Love you, Trash. Love you, TJ. Well, like you, TJ. You're always insulting everybody over here. Insulting me on my TypeScript
take. Things today.
Hey,
what?
Though, hey, Trash, appreciate the talk. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Trash.
That was awesome. By the way, this is actually pretty fun. We should do this again because the idea of having a presentation where we can stop and interrupt is actually pretty cool.
Trash, you did awesome.
I really appreciate that you all stopped and we started having discussions, because it would have been really awkward if I was just talking. Yeah. Because I can't see anything. Okay, I'm like, bye. Was that good? Was that funny? Did you like it? I don't know.
Let's go fix the TypeScript compiler.
Let's not fix the TypeScript compiler. Good luck, yeah, buddy. It will be a lot harder than you realize it will be.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't necessarily want to look at the code, but but we can do this. This is doable. This is doable.
I believe in you, Casey.
Yeah, Casey, you got this, Casey. All you.
All right, I'll go download
fun,
it.
That was fun.
Love the presentation, Trash.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
All right. I am raiding out right now. I'm going to... Why do we have to end? Because I have a meeting that I have to go to now. So...
Big boy thing.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Trash. See you, everybody.
Boot up the day. Vibe coding. Errors on my screen. Terminal coffee. And hair.